Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic program from Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to this classic program to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to be thinking about a sermon that I just love to preach, and it's about what a difference a day makes. And it's all because of Jesus, you might know that. So call your friends, have them tune us in, and we're going to look at what a difference a day makes. But we're looking at Scripture, Psalm 102 today, where the psalmist writes, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your greatness and your might. We thank you that when we put our faith in you, that we have everlasting life and that we never have to worry because you hold us in your hand. Lord, we pray today that you'll bless this service and all who join us. Some will be having some hard times. Some may be a loss of a loved one. Maybe some young people have decisions to make and so on and so forth. May this service, Lord, bless and help everyone who joins us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Jan is going to sing a song for us, "You Will I Love," and God bless you, Jan.
Gifts of grace by which I live. You will I love
Thank you, Jan. And that surely every Christian could say amen to that, because there's no one like Jesus. And he's always there to help us and to guide us and to bless us. And I was just thinking the other day, what if I didn't have Jesus? Where would I turn and what would I do? And yet I thought of so many that don't have Jesus. They know about him and they hear about him and maybe, and maybe read about him. But to know him personally, intimately, that's the key. And everyone can have that. Jesus says, I want to come into your heart, he says in Revelation 3:20. He says, I want to come into your heart and I want to take away your sins and I want to dwell with you and I want to sup with you or fellowship with you. And he'll do that all your life. And you know, I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. That's 88 years ago. And I took Jesus into my heart and now he's there. And nothing like talking to Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. Well, we have our letters. Have some nice letters, and we want to thank you all for writing. And I'm going to give you the address in just a minute if you maybe get a pencil and paper, and you could write us a letter, and we'll try to read it. But we can't read all of the letters we get. So if you write a letter and then we don't read it, don't get upset, because we just can use just so many. And as I say, you know, we had one dear lady and wrote in, I think, 7 pages. And we didn't use it, and was she upset? She wrote another 7-page letter being upset because we didn't read her letter. So we can't read all, but we read the ones. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, and that's what we're reading today. And so this letter comes from Vasco, Macedonia in Europe. And he writes, thanks, Mr. Harold, on your friendship. I am Vasco from Macedonia, Europe, and I'm a Christian more than 15 years. First, sorry for my English. Pastor Harold, it is a big pleasure to have you as my friend. God bless you, your church and family. I'm 40 years old. And I just really thrilled because you read so much about Macedonia in the New Testament. You know, Paul was going to go to Asia, and God stopped him. And in a vision, in a dream, he says, no, there's a man in Macedonia who can come over and help us. And so he went to Macedonia, and they had a great response. And the Macedonians became strong Christians. As a matter of fact, they, in their giving, they outgave all the others. They were poor. They didn't have a lot. But they outgave any other of the churches. And Paul says the reason they did that was because they first gave themselves. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. And when you give yourself to him, then he'll get your talents and your gifts and the money that he's entrusted in your hands. And the Macedonians, I had him look it up. Kent looked it up. It was 5,380 miles away. And here we are. He's worshiping with us today. God bless you, Vasco. Here's Elkton, Maryland. And they're writing and said, I'm sending this offering to help keep you on preaching Jesus. You say Jesus more times in your messages than anyone else I know. Keep on telling about our Jesus. See you soon and with our Jesus. And so, yes, I tell you, preaching now 75 years, and it's Jesus. Everything is Jesus. And when somebody put it like this, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and is just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And if you accept Jesus, you know, you may know about him and read about him and have people talking about him and you hear a lot about him. But you need to know him personally, intimately, personally. And when you talk to him, you can just say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart. And I'll forsake my sins the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. See? And then you'll not only know about him, you will intimately know him. He will be within your heart. And he will never leave you. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. and he'll be with us as long as we serve our time on earth. And when we get to heaven, he'll take us home to heaven to be with him, and we will be with him forever. Jesus. And Jesus told us, you know, in John 14, the only way to heaven is through Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then he got narrow-minded, and he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. So the way to Jesus is a person, this wonderful Savior. Just can't get over talking about him. Here's Berkeley, California. Thank you for expressing God's unending love for us and encouraging us to turn to Christ. May God bless you and your loved ones. And that's what we're doing. We want you to turn to come to Christ. That's the purpose of the whole thing. Well, of course, along with it, we want to comfort the older people and the shut-ins and everybody, and comfort God's people, like God told Isaiah in chapter 40 and verse 1. Comfort ye, my people. That's what we're doing. And then we want to come to Jesus so that you personally know Jesus. Because if you don't know him, if you're not born again, if you don't accept him, you have no hope of heaven. And you'll only be in that place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I shudder when I say it, but that's what Jesus said. And he said, you tell people, when you preachers, you tell them what they're an awful place called hell. And that I'm the only answer, and I want them to be with him in heaven. And he came and died on the cross and paid for he gave his own life on the cross because he loved us and wanted to save us from that place called hell. And so Jesus tells us in John 5, verse 24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You hear the word, you believe it, you have everlasting life. But Jesus isn't done. He goes on in the verse and he says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you will never go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. That's heaven. You'll live forever with Jesus. It's all Jesus. Got to have Jesus. Here's Love Lady, Texas. And they write and say, I listen to you every Sunday night here in my prison cell. In fact, I wait all week for you to come on again. I never miss it. Thank you for your time and service. You're a big lift for me. I enjoy listening to you. I'm 64 this month. Myself, and I'm really trying to change my life. You help me. I've been here 7 years. I might get to go home for Christmas. I hope so. I intend to listen to you every Sunday until all of us is called home to heaven. And so we send literature to this dear brother, and we put him on our mailing list, and we have a little Bible study every week, every month. And this month we're talking about Jesus, how he's our wonderful friend, a wonderful friend. We'll stick us closer than a brother. And that friend will be with us all of our life. And he'll be with us in heaven forever. And that's just by opening your heart to the Savior. Let's see, Dodge Center, Minnesota. Oh, she's got some questions. She says, some ministers I've heard say you should ask God to forgive your sins because God is the only one who can forgive. Is this right? And yes, that's right. Mark 2, verse 7. God is the only one who can forgive sins. And he did it through his son. And Jesus went to the cross. Jesus is God. And he went to the cross and he shed his blood to pay for our sins. Yes, he's the only one who can forgive sins. Then she has another question. Where is it here? Can a Christian lose their salvation? Absolutely not. When you're born again, you're a child of God, and you will never be lost. And you can write this down, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. And here Jesus says that he is the way, he is the one who will hold us in his hand. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and I hold them in my hand. And then the next verse says, God holds my hand. So the Father holds the Son's hand. And so it isn't me holding on to Jesus, because I might let it slip or I might drift. But as Jesus holds onto me, and he will never fail us, never be gone. And then one other verse, she says, I have heard you are in the grave till Jesus comes. Otherwise, you get to heaven the second you die. Which one is right? Easiest word in the whole world to answer. Look at the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8. And we are told, absent from the body and at home with the Lord, the moment we accept, the moment we die, that we have one last breath here and the next breath is in heaven. The body is left in the grave for the resurrection, but the spirit and the soul depart and are with Christ. That's for Christians. That's for people that have Jesus. That's why you've got to have Jesus. And we just pray to God that you'll do that. And so if you'd like to write to us, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And we'll send you free and postpaid literature, especially if you accepted the Lord, anywhere in the world. And now Jan's going to play for us. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from John chapter 21, and we're reading beginning with the 9th verse. And then in our prayer today, we're going to be praying for the persecuted church in Yemen. As we pray every month, we pray every week, we pray for a different church, different group. And so the scripture says, as soon as they were come to land. Now, this is after the resurrection of Jesus. And Peter's denied the Lord and then gone back to fishing. And then Jesus is risen from the dead. And now he's at the Sea of Galilee. This is where this takes place. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this beautiful story. And for Peter, it's a new day. And when we come to you, Lord, and we're reconciled to you, when we receive you into our heart and life, it's a new day. It doesn't matter who we are, what we've done, or where we are, what our sins might be, that you're open there and willing to receive us and to pardon us of our sins. And so we're praying today, Lord, that all over the world there'll be many that will pray and ask you to come into their heart and take away their sins, giving unto them eternal life, and they can do like Peter. They can feed my sheep. They can go out and serve you. You'll commission them as you did Peter. And so, dear Lord, we ask you that that might happen in this service today. Lord, we want to pray for the persecuted church in Yemen. We know that many of them are giving their lives for you, Lord, and many have died because of terrible persecution in that country. And so help them to know, Lord, some of them may be worshiping with us right now on shortwave radio. Help them all to know that we pray for them and we support them. Help them that we are so proud of them for their stand for the Lord, and that it helps us, encourages us to stand for Jesus. It helps us to be better Christians when we see their life. And someday we'll all be together in heaven, and won't that be wonderful? So, Lord, this is your service. Have your way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hank's going to sing before we preach an evening prayer. And God bless you, Hank.
Well, thank you, Pastor.
If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, if I have uttered idle words in vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I offend some mother through the strain. Dear Lord, forgive if I have been perverse or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in the fold. When thou hast given me some foot to hold, dear Lord, forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. Oh God, love me and my keeper be. Dear
Thank you, Hank. I think all of us pray that prayer because it's awful easy to make a mistake, make a sin, and we need to go to Jesus, and He'll always forgive us. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel. Doesn't matter what sins you have, no matter how you've been, if you go to Jesus and ask Him to come into your heart and take away your sins, He'll take away your sins. You'll be born again. You'll be a child of God. And that's why I love to preach, because nobody's hopeless. The only one that's hopeless is after death. Then it's all settled. Well, we're going to look at something today, and I entitled it, What a Difference a Day Makes. And there are some days that they drag on and just monotonous. And then there's sometimes a day will come along and it'll be earth-shaking, something earth-shaking happening, and you'll never be the same since. Your whole life changes. And so we want to look at some of these people. For instance, the boy David. And just when he was a little young lad, a teenager, and he was caring for the sheep, and he was to take food to the army for his brothers who were army in the Israeli army. And he meant he just went as a little shepherd boy. But before he came back, he had met Goliath and had the victory, and his life was never the same after he had that victory over Goliath. Or you have the story in the Old Testament of Naaman the leper. And here he is, a general in the Syrian army, and he's a good man and he's a kind man, and everybody loved him except he was a leper. And he goes to this prophet, a prophet of God, and the prophet tells him to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And he goes and washes and dips himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and he's cleansed of his leprosy. That was a day that his life changed. One day to the next made a great difference. Or think the thief hanging on the cross. And he was there because he was a wicked man. He was a terrible wicked man. And he is there to be dying for his sins. And he asked the Lord to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus said here is a condemned sinner suffering for his sins, his own sins that he had done. And he comes to Jesus. Jesus forgives him. And that morning he walked in a prison cell, and that night he walked on the streets of gold. What a difference a day makes with the Lord Jesus. Or you take godly Stephen, first martyr of the Christian church, and how that he was stoned because he was witness for Christ and he wouldn't back down. And the last two things he ever said in this world were prayers. He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. and he prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. A difference made a difference at all, because he was there on earth and the people were stoning him to death. And the next moment he's in heaven and the angels are rejoicing and singing for him that he stood true to Christ. Or look at Saul of Tarsus. You have to talk about Saul of Tarsus and how that he put the Christians to death. He was a dedicated man, but he was dedicated to the wrong thing. And he's putting Christians to death. And after he put about all that he could find in Jerusalem, he asked the priest to give him authority to go to Damascus, because some of the Christians had run away and fled to Damascus. And he's on the road to Damascus. He's going to desecrate them. Those poor people like he did in Jerusalem. And lo and behold, God speaks to him from heaven. And that he never was the same since. He became Saul. Paul the apostle wrote most of the New Testament. So the difference of a day makes. But the one that I want you to think about most of all today is Peter. Peter, he always stands out. When you talk about Peter and the 12 apostles, you see there's a special manner about Peter. He's just different. And when they talk about, they always name Peter first in the apostles, and they called him the rock, and he's all the spokesman for the group. And there's all the ways he's going, standing out, Peter. And to the other disciples, he didn't utter such promises and predictions, but it was just seemed like God, or Jesus, was close to Peter, James, and John, but especially Peter. And in this story, he says to tell the disciples, he says, go and tell the disciples that I'm risen from the dead. Tell the disciples and Peter. So Peter was a man of look at what happened to him. Jesus is in Pilate's hall, and Peter says tells Peter, Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter says, I'll die, but I'll never deny you. And you know the story as well as I. And that night the cock crowed, and Peter went out and wept bitterly, because he had failed the Lord. He failed himself, and he failed his Lord, failed Jesus. And Peter, because it says that Peter followed afar off. And there are many Christians that are following the far off. They don't want to stand out too much for the Lord. They don't want to give too much to the Lord. They don't want to serve. They want to sell out to the Lord. They want to get all of the things that God can give them, but they don't want to give themselves. And they followed Jesus. At least they followed him. All the other disciples left him except John. John stayed true. But it isn't a good way to travel afar off. You need to be close up with the Lord and stand out for the Lord. So close, so Peter lives this day. He closes the day swearing and cursing that he doesn't know Jesus Christ. And Peter said that, and then he closed the day. He hears the cock crow, and Peter closes the day going out, and he wept bitterly. But now a new day comes, and these tears are flowing, but day closes. It's been a long day, but the day is over, and there's going to be another day. And so Peter goes with the other disciples, and they go down to the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen by trade. And so they were says, well, we thought Jesus was going to be the king of the rule over Israel, but he's dead, and he's in the grave. And so they go down and they said, we'll go back to our old business. It was all a dream. It was a fantasy. It's not going to be true at all. And over they think about this Jesus. And they go to work go back to their fishing. And in their fishing, as they go to back fishing, they find out that lo and behold, there's a new day coming. And their new day become, they're going to see Jesus. And he's going to talk to Peter, and he's going to reconcile. And he has that Peter talking to him. And this new day starts as the other disciples are fishing. And while they're fishing, they were told that six other disciples had gone to the Sea of Galilee to fish and to resume their own trade. They are of these seven, five are named: Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, sons of Zebedee, James and John, and the other two are not named. We don't know who they were, but there were four others, and four we don't know about, but we know, it's just three. We know about Judas. We knew where Judas was, wasn't he? He was selling out Jesus, and he was at that very time, he was selling out Jesus and giving out Jesus, but he knew where he was. But the others were true to the Lord, and they loved the Lord, and most of them here fishing. And so now as they're fishing, as the night goes on and it comes a new day, and it kind of dawn a new day, they find out that they're fishing, and they see in the mist on that sea of the Galilee in the morning, it starts to lift, and they see a man standing on the shore. And so they're close enough so they can talk to this man. And he calls out to them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answer, "No." And he tells them to cast on the net on the right side of the ship. And by this time, John is sure of something. He knows that Peter doesn't catch on yet, but John knows that it's Jesus. And he says to Peter, "It's the Lord. It is the Lord." And Peter immediately, what does he do? Row to the shore? No, he jumps overboard. And he swims as far as he can, and then he wades out. And he comes up to see Jesus. And there's Jesus. And there's fish and bread and coals of fire. And he's prepared a meal for them. And they ate together. And I wonder what they thought as they were eating. Jesus hasn't said a thing to them about anything that's happened. And it says that they knew that it was the resurrected Christ. And they knew about the whole thing, but they were afraid to ask him. The Bible says none of them durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. I wonder if the other six wondered what Jesus would say to Peter, because Peter's the one that swore he didn't know him. And after the meal is over, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Why have you denied me? Why did you turn me down?" No, he didn't say that at all. He doesn't even talk. There's not a single reference to the past. He doesn't say anything about Peter following afar off. He doesn't say a thing about Peter cursing and that. What does he say to Peter? "Peter, do you love me? Lovest thou me?" After Peter had given an opportunity to confess his love three times, and the third time Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Notice this, dear friends. The past was blotted out. Its dark ashes and its dark sins were forgiven and forgotten. Peter is restored. And Jesus isn't going over all of the things of the past. He's looking in the future. The past is all paid. And it's all settled because Peter is told of his love to the Lord. The risen Christ has given Peter a new day, a whole new day. When Peter saw Christ through the mist that morning on the Sea of Galilee, I'm sure that he thought to himself, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Will he forgive me? Will he forget? And it's a glorious encouragement to Peter that Jesus never even mentioned the past. It was all given to Jesus. It was all sins were all forgiven away. That's the beautiful thing. That's why I just love to preach the gospel, is because I can tell you, I don't care what your sins are. And I know a lot of times people will say, "Well, I sinned against light." That is, I knew it was wrong, but I sinned anyway. And how is God going to forgive me for that? Or I remember one time a woman, a young lady, and she used to travel with a stripper. And I don't know how she got to hear the gospel, but when she came to see me and I told her about Jesus, she accepted Jesus. She wanted to be baptized because she knew that's what you're supposed to do. And she said, "If you baptize me, I know the water will turn black." She thought the baptism took away the sins, which was not the case. But the point was, I could tell her, "Though your sins be as scarlet, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And I don't care where you are and what you've been and what you've done. I don't care one thing about that. I just want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. And he paid for your sins, and you washed them all away. And I've seen over my ministry some people that come from awful dark places, and they've come to Jesus, and he's washed away their sins, because when Jesus forgives our sins, and he washed them away in the blood of the Lamb. And I know in my own life I have my sins, and wouldn't you like to know what some of my sins were? So maybe I could say, well, now tonight I'm going to have a movie. I'm going to show you all of my sins. Wouldn't you like to come to that? Boy, I wouldn't go to it. But you know, they're all washed away. And he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so I forgive your sins. And that's how far they are from me. Just think about that thief on the cross. Why was he on the cross? He was on the cross because he was a murderer. You remember what the other thief said to him? He said, he didn't think Jesus should be crucified, but he says, you and I, we're just cause. We have it coming. We're wicked, that kind of people we are. And all this man did, he wasn't baptized or anything like that. He just said on that, he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, you know, that took a lot of faith. Because he's talking about Jesus, what kingdom? He's thinking about the kingdom when he's going to overthrow Rome and set up the kingdom of God on earth. When you come into your kingdom, think of the faith that that man had. Jesus is dying, and yet he believes he's going to have a kingdom. See, there's a lot on going on behind the scenes there. And because of his faith and giving to Jesus, he's coming to the Lord, coming to the Savior. Oh, I tell you, I've seen people over the years, some of them with terrible sins, and God washed them all away. But you have to come to Jesus to have it happen. And over we see people coming, and they'll say, well, I'm going to do it someday. I'm going to do it later on, and I'll maybe do it on our anniversary. The men will say that if they're not Christians. They'll say, oh, I'll do it on my wife's anniversary. Wouldn't that make her happy, and so on. And then, you see, the devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He'll never tell you not to accept Jesus. He'll say, put it off, put it off. And when you put it off, you may never have another time. And you keep putting it off until that day comes and it passes and you never make it. You have to come to Jesus. You need to come to now. You never know if you have another day. You don't know if you have another hour. You have to come to Jesus. And I just love to be, because I don't care what your sins are. They're all taken away in the blood of the Lamb. And then our names are written in the Lamb's book of life so that we have eternal life. And we can never lose that life. There's some people we hear from all the time. And they think, oh, Jesus forgave me all my sins. But now when I come, when I get my sins, then I don't know what I'm going to do. Because if I cause another sin now, it's just like they're on probation. And if they cause a sin or they commit a sin, then they'll lose their salvation. But Jesus said, you know, that when he gives us eternal life, they shall never perish. When he says they never perish, they're never going to die. And so we just ask people to put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And as you think about that, it's about the old days. Don't think about those old days. Jesus didn't talk about the old days. And yet I find people so many times, and they, whenever they have a hardship in their family, in their life. I remember one lady, and she was a dear Christian woman. And she had got hurt, and she had a leg amputated. And she told me, she says, I must have committed some awful sins when I was young for God to let this happen. And she thought about her childhood and was a young teenager. I don't know what her life was like. She was a very godly woman. But that's what happens. When something happens, we think of sins that we've had in the past. Well, Peter is telling us, Jesus is telling Peter, we're not concerned about the past. So why should you be concerned about the past? You ever stop to think, why do you think about the past and past sins? Why do you think about it anyway? How come you can think and remember those things? Devil's helping you. That's the devil's work. Because the devil knows that we can't do one thing about those past sins. We can't change the past. So he throws it in our face all the time. And then we worry and we fret and it bothers us. You know what St. Paul did? Paul was a terrible sinner. He persecuted the church. He stood and watched the clothes as they stoned Stephen to death, and he agreed to it. And because he couldn't find any more people in Jerusalem, he went to going to Damascus. He was a terrible, terrible sinner. But you know what St. Paul says? Forgetting the things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting the past. So how do you forget the past? Paul tells us how. Forgetting the past, I look at the mark of the calling of the high calling God. I look at Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. And when you do that, he'll help you to put them behind you and just wash them all away. And so Peter starts this day, black and terrible day. And then all of a sudden, he comes to Jesus. And this is a wonderful, wonderful story. Jesus paid it all. And he has a new life and a new going. You ever think about the New Testament and in the Bible, all the new things? Talks about the New Testament, the new covenant, the new creature, the new man, the new birth, the new commandment, the new name, the new song, new heaven, the new earth. But that's the gospel. Because of the risen Christ, we can have a new day. It's the land beginning again. Maybe your past is bothering you. Put it behind you under the blood of Christ and walk with Jesus and serve Jesus, because Christ lives and he'll help you to do it. The gospel, the risen Christ, he's the one that's able to take this brokenhearted Peter because of his sins. And Peter would never forget that thing. But now Peter's thinking something else. He's recommissioned and he goes on to serve the Lord and honor Christ. You know, you can see, feel sorry for your son's sins, but I wonder if he'll ever take me back. And he sure did. I remember reading the story of a woman who was dying of AIDS, and she summoned a pastor to come and comfort her. And so her emotional, when he got here, he found out her emotional pain was as much as her physical pain. And everything to her, the poor thing, just seemed absolutely hopeless. And she told the pastor, "I'm lost. I've ruined my life and every life around me. I'm headed for hell, and there's no hope for me." And the pastor noticed a framed picture of a pretty girl on the dresser. And he said, "Who is that?" And she said, "She's my daughter, the only one beautiful thing in my life." And the pastor said to her, the woman, "Well, would you help her if she was in trouble?" Asking the pastor, "Well, how many times she's made a mistake and she's done things wrong and she's failed you? Would you still love her? Would you still forgive her?" And the woman says, "Of course I would." And she said, "Why would you ask such a question like that?" And the pastor said, "Because I want you to understand," and explained, "that God has a picture of you on his dresser. And you can come back because he loves you and he cares for you. But he can't help you unless you come to him. You've got to go to him." And on that one occasion, that's what this woman said. "Yes, I want to have hope. I want to come, because with the gospel, there's always hope. I don't care what yesterday was. I can tell you what tomorrow's going to be. It's going to be a glorious day." And once you have brought that Lord Jesus into your heart, once you've done that, you can just like the thief on the cross did, just like Stephen did, just like the others did, "Whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so this Jesus, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." So you're saying, "Yes, I want to get rid of the past. I want a new day. I want to turn over the page. I want to start a new life. But I don't know how to receive Jesus. I don't even know Jesus. I don't know what to say." I'll tell you what to say. You just tell Jesus that you're a sinner. Now, he knows it. But you say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart." You see, he says, I stand at the door and knock, he says in Revelation. I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. Right now, you're not hearing any voices or anything like that, but you just got a feeling, "I want Jesus. And I want Jesus in my heart. And I need Jesus." And then he says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," and you've heard it now with the preaching of the gospel, "if any man hear my voice and take me into your heart, I will come in. I remember a little junior boy, and I'd ask him to pray that prayer. Name was Keith. He's dead and gone now. And he said, what if I ask him and he won't come in? He says, I'd enter the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I will sup with him. I'll fellowship with him. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. So right now you can make that prayer. And you just take Jesus in your own words and just tell him, Jesus, and you can do it right now. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you as best I can. That means I'm going to turn from the old way. I came from the pig pen. I'm not going back to the pig pen. I'm living a new life. I'm sorry for my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you won't be perfect. And the first time you fail, you lose your temper, you have a bad thought. That's just part of living your life. And then when you do that, Jesus says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you fail, and when I fail every day, one way or another. And I just ask the Lord and ask him to forgive me for my sins. And he forgives me every time. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Did you know that Christianity is the only religion in the world that has grace? And grace means unmerited favor. It means he forgives us. We don't deserve it, but he forgives us just the same. My grace is sufficient for thee. And another time the scriptures tell us, where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You've just got to make that prayer. If you made that prayer, you ask us right to the Christian Worship Hour. We'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you'd like to have our little Bible study, we put that out every month. And and I know you say, well, what does it cost? It doesn't cost anything. We are so nice that we pay everything. You say, well, you'll go broke, won't you? Nope. We won't go broke because we have God's people and they send gifts or money all the time to help us. You know, we are not underwritten by any denomination or organization or corporation. We're a member, we're just looking to God's people. And we just say, now you pray a little prayer and say, dear Lord, should I help the Christian Worship Hour? Is this something I ought to support? And if he says no, give it somewhere else, then by all means do it. But be sure you give it. Don't hold on to it. It's not yours. It's God's money. But if he says yes, then you say, how much? And you say, are you sure that much? Or I don't know what he'll say, but he'll tell you. And then you send it to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know what some of you men are saying. I don't think the women probably say it, but the men would say it. I don't trust him. I don't know what he's going to do with that money. How do I know he might get a sports car? I'm 98 years old. I'm about to buy a sports car. But we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It was started by Billy Graham. We are a member of that organization, and they come and audit our books. They come into our office. They spend 2 or 3 days, and they go through every penny we have that we account for every gift, and we account for giving, receiving, and giving. And so if you give, you can do that. We also have a little book that we just put out, Will I Know Our Loved Ones in Heaven? And you can send a little free will offering basis. We'll give you that. But we'd like to hear from you, and we'd like to have you pray for us. And pray for others as Christian Worship Hour carries on. All of our giving and all of our praying and all of our goals is to just bring glory to God. And we do that by, first of all, praying for the shut-ins and those who are on beds of sickness and those who can't get around. Praying for those who have the lost loved ones. And that's a hard time, especially if it's your spouse. I know what that's like. I've gone through it. It's hard. There's no easy way. But God will help you day by day and he'll give you extra strength. We pray for all of you people. We pray for the young people. When I was raised, the only drugs we had was an aspirin tablet. That's all we had. Now the poor people, the poor things, they're just flooded with these drugs. And we just pray for them that they be strong and stand up and say no. And if they're starting into them, to get off of them and to go close to you. And we pray for the children, dear Lord. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. I have a daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 6. And she's a grandma now, walking with Jesus. Don't tell me children can't come to the Lord. And so the gospel is open to all, and we're just praying that you'll come. And when you come, you write to us, and you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And the glorious thing about the gospel is that it is absolutely foolproof. God can't fail you. He couldn't fail if he wanted to, and he never would do that. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you, and he'll carry you through. Put your faith in Jesus. And I have to always say this, and I tell you, every service we have, I tell you all, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son to die on a cross. Would you give your child or your grandchild to die for your enemies? Would you give that? I couldn't. I know I couldn't. But God, who loves far more than I love, gave his son. And he gave it because God loves you. And Jesus went to the cross. It says, who for the joy that was set before him, he rejoiced that he could go and die for your sins. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. Every person working on the Christian Worship Hour rejoices when somebody comes to Jesus. And they pray for this work all the time. It's just I hope you'll pray. And then I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to come to Jesus more than anything I know. For 75 years, I'm on 76. I gave my whole life telling people that God loves them and urging them to come to Jesus. So you come today, and you'll have the joy of salvation living for you. God bless you, everyone.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.